Amen. Amen. Let me start off by saying we're talking about today about restoring a love relationship. Obviously, that's going to play into marriage. I mean, obviously. But the other part of that is it's also going to play into the fact that there are some people today in this room who probably, if honest, would realize that they have to really return to God as their first love. That it's easy for us to stray in our beliefs and stray in our walk with God. So all of Christianity is based on this one principle, which is this. Restoration has always been God's plan. All of Christianity is based on this one principle. Restoration is God's plan. Okay? Obviously, you got all the good looks in this family after knowing that you all are related to the boy downstairs. So, restoration is always God's plan. Now, what is the problem with restoration? What's the problem?
You have to recognize that you need it.
Well, I think we all understand we need it.
Well, I know a handful of people that don't.
Yeah. Okay, okay. Point made. You got to understand you need it. Here's the other thing. You've got to want it. And it starts with the word repentance. In other words, how in the world am I going to be restored to God if I'm staying on the same pathway that I've been on with God all this time? So restoration comes because I really want to be what? I want to be restored to God. I want to be restored. Finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. When I first read that, I misread it. I thought it meant Hominy, Oklahoma, you know. Doug, there's chairs all over the place. Grab in one. Come on up front. Don't be a chicken.
Everybody looks skinnier.
Yeah, go back, Dad. Go back.
Thank you.
Here's my good side. Finally, now that we're getting started late, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. It's a tough word. Do not repay evil for evil or insult for insult, but with blessings. Return evil with a what? Blessing. Because to this you have been what? Called so that you can inherit a blessing. In other words, the blessings I think that come from God are in direct relationship to the blessings you're willing to give to other people. You want blessings? Give blessings. You want love? Give love. Okay? For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do what? Evil. Now, we've been looking at roles and responsibilities of husbands and wives. We learned that we're supposed to come to a place where we're meeting those needs in our life. So I told you, your husband's greatest need is what, ladies? Say it out loud, quickly. Praise. When you praise me, I'm the solution. When you don't praise me, I'm the problem. If I'm the problem, I'm going to disengage and run from you. I don't like conflict. I don't like it. Okay? Your husbands, what's your wife's greatest need?
Don't listen.
For you to listen. Only took him 4 months to learn that. Now, to listen. Watch this. Watch this. Hearing is not listening. I hear you, but am I really listening? I have to listen with my eyes, my ears, and my heart. I have to tell you what you said to me, not what I heard. Not what I said I heard, okay? Now, we should have learned by now that some of these needs that we have in our life are placed there by God, so you'll quit going to everybody else for your needs and learn to come to God for some of your needs. Because if everybody in the world is going to be meeting your needs and they don't meet your needs, you're going to go into the world, which you already know what this is. That's where entitlement gets us into conflict with marriage and life and with God. We miss what God wants. By the way, that's a fill-in, entitlement. We miss what God has for us because guess what? We're not seeking God. I told you the story about being invited 17 years ago to go to Cambodia to teach the book of Acts in a week, 1 week. I had 3 hours a day to teach the whole book of Acts to 22 Cambodian pastors. So obviously when I was invited to do this, what's my first response? I'll pray about it, which means what? I have no intention of going. You know, people die in Cambodia. You know, I'm not a big rice fan. I mean, a lot of things were playing in here. And so, in the end result of all this was, the pastor who invited me calls me personally, and he says this. He goes, where are we at in this? I said, well, God hasn't spoken to me yet. He goes, do you want to know why? Yeah, why? He goes, because you're not asking him. You're not seeking him. God's already told me you're going. Quit fooling around and get on your face. And so that was my pastor growing up, which now you understand why I'm the way I am. Now, sadly, many couples that come to see me are on the brink of choosing the lie, and the lie is simply this. There's no hope in this situation. There's no hope. And see, if we spend our time in marriage and in life, whatever that is, and all you do is you start believing the lies as though they're truth, you're going to have conflict. And you already know this week, one of our students this week was struggling because the lies became a what? A truth. But it's a lie. Now, it also reminds me that there comes a time in life, especially with people, but especially in marriage, you have to stand your ground. You have to stand your ground. In other words, if my kid's doing something that I know really bothers God, I have to stand my ground. Because what we don't want to do is become what I'm going to call, it doesn't mean you become enablers or doormats for your mate or for other people. There's your fill-in, enablers. Well, you should have. It's there. Okay? If it's not there, then don't fill it in. Now, the first fill-in is an entitlement. The next one I have is enablers. Yeah, I'm going to get there. Hang on a minute. If it wasn't there, it's not there. Sorry. It's because the person that does all this for me missed it, obviously. I have heard many times when, listen to me. Everyone stop. This is serious right now, and there's too many distractions, and I'm getting distracted. We need to stop. This is serious. Please. Now, I don't usually get on that, but this week we need to listen. Please. Now, our first year was terrible because of the fill-in coming. Truth must always trump feelings. Truth must always trump feelings. If left to ourselves, we're always going to live by what we think and feel. If left to what you think and feel, who stays married? Nobody. If left in what you think and feel, who stays in church? Nobody. Why? Because life gets hard. Church gets hard. Family gets hard. Work gets hard. Sometimes life's what? Sometimes it's hard. It's really hard. Feelings are valid, though. Feelings are valid. Watch this. You can't ever say to your mate, oh, you shouldn't feel that way. No, feel any way you want, Ashley. Feel any way you want. It's just information about what you're what? About what you're thinking. Okay? So we got to come to the place where we realize this. That emotions are always going to try to undermine the truth of God's Word. And not just for women, I'm talking about all of us. All of us. Now, I want to share this gently, but a lack of hope in my eyes is really a lack of commitment to truth. A lack of hope that we say we have in our life, a lack of hope, I think is a lack of commitment to truth. We've got to start believing that what God is saying is real. Okay? So here's some questions about lost hope. Because I got to share this with you. Please look at me. I hear it all the time. I hear it every week. Brother Harry, there's no hope. Brother Harry, there's no hope in this relationship. And especially if you're under depression and you feel depressed and you feel like nothing's going your way and life is hard and everything isn't going the way you want and there's no hope and you turn to something that can really end hope totally, then you know what ends up happening? Instead of us trusting God with what's going on, we start really believing something that's not true. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. We have hope. Everything Peter's teaching us is about what? Hope. Our hope is in Christ. Now, several questions about lost hope, real quick. Number one, am I chasing the right dream? Ask yourself that question this morning. Am I chasing the right dream? Is this faith walk my idea or is it God's will? Am I in the midst of doubt? And watch this. What have I taught you about doubt? Doubt is a legitimate place to go in the life of a believer. It's okay to doubt. You can't stay there. You can't stay there. You got to either believe the truth or the lie about your circumstances. You with me? Now, for me, it looks like this. I know I'm never going to lose weight.
There's no hope.
There's absolutely no hope. Hey, when I said lighten up, that doesn't mean you can't say anything, okay? Thank you. Now, watch this. Because in our lives, what is my dream? Is my dream coming from God or is it my dream? Watch this. Are the counterfeits of life corrupting the dream that God has for me? Are the counterfeits of life corrupting the dream that God has for me? Well, watch this. You've got a lot of nerve doing that. You got to lose weight. And she comes home with three Bluebell ice cream things and said, yeah, we got company. Look at these aren't for you. You can't touch this. That's what she bought. That's what she got. And then she's like this, I got vanilla for you. Do I look like a vanilla kind of guy? No, I want stuff in my ice cream. I want little cookies. I want chocolate chips. I want stuff. Now, am I in the midst of doubt, which is a legitimate place to go? Am I continually, here's your fill in, seeking Christ's likeness, or is my heart fixed on self-gratification? Am I really seeking to become like Christ? Do I really want to become like Christ? Or is my focus on myself and what I'm not getting? And most of the time we struggle in life, and most of the time we struggle in marriage, it's simply because of this. My focus is on myself and what I'm not getting. Instead of what I should be what? Giving. Instead of what I should be giving. Are you living by your self-will? And do your worldly friends dictate your behavior? What dictates your behavior? Watch this. Are you chasing the right dream? Are you chasing the right dream? Number two, is what I'm pursuing consistent with God's word and God's calling for my life? Is what I'm pursuing, there's your fill-in, consistent with God's word and God's life? Are you pursuing faith? Are you pursuing peace? What is it you're going after? Because if what you're going after is a counterfeit, you're going to find it. And when you find it, it's never going to give you what you thought it was going to give you. But it will always take from you what God had planned for you in the dream that God had for you. Am I driving a car or is God driving a car? Am I fulfilling my roles and responsibilities? Or, watch this, do I spend my life living not in the Spirit of God, not in my wicked flesh? I'm in neither one of those worlds. I'm not concerned about those worlds. But am I living in what I call spiritual no man's land? In spiritual no man's land, I'm not in the flesh. I'm not in the Spirit. You know what? I'm just sitting back here totally indifferent to what God's dream and vision for my life might be. And today, listen to me. Most of you in here who are struggling today struggle right here because you got enough morals and savvy not to come over here to your flesh. I mean, your wicked flesh. So you're not really seeking after God to come over here to your spirit world. So we stay what? We stay totally indifferent to whatever it is God's trying to teach us. It's not just like lukewarm, it's absolutely lukewarm. It's absolutely lukewarm, okay? Number four, am I operating out of need to feel important and significant? Am I doing God's will, God's way? Am I doing God's will, God's way? Okay? Is what I'm doing violating God's word? And I've heard this a number of times. I'm leaving my mate. I feel good about this. I've talked to my friends. They're encouraging me. They feel good about it. And here's my response to that. Excuse me. Excuse me. The word of God. What are your grounds for divorce? Because if you don't have biblical grounds for divorce, you're living by what you think and feel, not what God's word says. Well, I feel good about it. Because that's post-truth. Feelings trump truth. And as long as I feel it, feelings trump truth. But see, the Word of God trumps everything. It trumps everything. Okay? Number four, am I operating out of need to feel important and significant? Is this about what I need? Am I focused on what I'm not getting? Pride here can be a real confusing thing for us at times because when we're off doing our own thing, even if you're off doing your own thing and it's successful, but it's outside of God's vision and what God wants, it's still pride. It's still pride. And you know what, folks? I don't know about you all, but pride's a biggie. Pride is a biggie. We don't like people telling us how to live our lives. We don't want people telling us what to do. We don't want people standing behind us telling us which way the ball's going to break. When I'm putting, don't come over here and tell me what you think my putt's going to do. I don't care what you think my putt's going to do. I'm having enough trouble figuring out what I think the putt's going to do without you coming in and telling me how to putt the putt. Leave me alone. And when I'm in the buffet line, don't get in front of me and do this. Get out of the line. If you don't know what you want, get out of the line. I know what I want. Get out of the line.
There's no hope.
There's no hope. No, it's called survival. Am I willing to trust God even if my life is difficult? Am I willing to trust God? The easy way or the comfortable way out may not always be God's way. Maybe God's using the fires of life to remove the cheap impurities that he sees in my life. There's your fill-in. And watch this. We all have cheap impurities in our lives, don't we? I'm going to get to one of mine in just a minute. Because you probably could pick up on it today. I'm terribly impatient. Why? Because I know where I'm going today, and I want to what? Get there. Yeah, but see, you and God got to get on the same time clock here. You know what I'm saying? In other words, in doing God's way, there are going to be difficult people that come into your world that are high maintenance, that are going to try to keep you, and life's going to get what? Difficult, hard, and the enemy wants to use that to what? Counterfeit God's dream and vision. Counterfeit it. Okay? Okay, let's talk about restoration. I'm not going to get real deep into the book of Hosea. But the book of Hosea says this. God says to Hosea 3:1, go show yourself to your wife again. She is loved by another and is an adulteress. Love her as the Lord loves the Israelites who turn to other gods. Okay, so he had to go down to the market and what? Buy his wife back. Now get a picture of this. There's a lot of prosperity going on in Israel at this point in time. Everybody's doing good. Everybody's blessed financially. They got all kinds of wealth. The stock market was up, everything was up, employment was up, everything sure looked good in their country. But the country was rotting away morally and inwardly. And you could take the book of Hosea today and put it in the newspaper concerning America, and it would be the exact same story. You can take Hosea right now, put it in the paper, and you'd think he was talking to us today. So you know the story. He's a wealthy man. It's probably not a huge town. I don't know how big the town he lived in. I'm not sure exactly where he even lived. I didn't look it up. But he's a what? He's a very wealthy man. He's doing really good. His wife leaves him. She's out here fooling around. She becomes an adulteress. And then, you know what? Everybody throws her away like she's cheap trash. And now she becomes a prostitute. And a prostitute in that day could what? Cost you something. Like what? Your life. You're stoned to death for things like that. So here's what she does. She's got to eat. She's got to make a living. She goes down to the marketplace to sell herself as a slave. And a slave in those days, for 7 years, you became a slave. On the eighth year, they had to let you go. But most of the slaves didn't want to get let go because there was nothing else for them except having a meal every day. And then that guy who owned you could do with you whatever he wants. He could pass you on to his friends. He can do whatever he wanted to do with you because you're a slave. And God says this to Hosea, go down to the marketplace and see your wife selling herself and buy her back. Buy her back. Let's put it in today's vernacular, okay? Marriage is constantly making deposits into people's accounts that you call family, and you have to buy them back. Restoration is understanding Jesus Christ came to this earth to buy us back. We were God's creations, and he had to come and buy us back. When your mate messes up and does wrong, God wants to have that relationship restored, and sometimes you have to buy them back. You don't become an enabler. You don't just turn the other cheek and say, no, forget it. But when there is repentance, and watch this, in the life of Gomer, you know, I mean, the girl had problems to begin with. I mean, you start your life with the name Gomer. Yeah, it's my wife Gomer. Hey, how you doing? Yeah, probably so. But the whole point, watch this. He's talking about the nation of Israel, that they're bent on backsliding. Most slavery is because of our own personal choices. She's a slave because of her own personal choices. And now he had to go what? He had to go buy her back. Now, Hosea's message was to expose the sin, the foreign alliances, and he was letting them know there is a coming judgment. There's a judgment coming. Now, all right, Harry, great story. They all lived happily ever after. But let's get real. My home, my marriage is a hopeless situation. I don't want my mate back. I don't want to move on. Our home is never going to be what it's supposed to be. I've had enough. I quit. I wish I could tell you that that's something new that I haven't heard lately. Or what's worse is, we're going to stay together for the sake of the children. And you live together for the sake of the children, and you're so disengaged from God and each other, and you're living under the same roof, and there's nothing worse than being disengaged underneath the same roof. Nothing worse. You say, what's caused all this? Same thing problem Israel had. We're bent on backsliding. We're bent on doing life the way we want. And we've got to come to a place where we realize we miss the moral of the story. What is the moral of the story? Here they are. Restoration is always God's plan. Write it down. Restoration is always God's plan. Repentance is always God's process. There's no change without what? Change. There's no change without repentance. So if your world's falling apart, it's because you're living your dream, not God's dream. And you're practicing and focused on yourself and what you're not getting. Instead of coming to the place where you're saying, I got to repent. I got to change my mind. I got to start going a different direction. I've got to start doing this stuff God's way. God's way. Returning to God will always bring him glory. But watch this. In bringing God glory, there's no way you end up the hero of the story. Your bad choices, and suddenly you say, I'm turning around. You're not the hero of this story. I've had people in my office say this to me, Brother Harry, you have saved our lives. Lady, I am not the hero of this story. I'm just the one crying out, showing you how to get to where you need to be. And I've told you this story before. When I went to Cambodia, I took a Bible with me that I gave my brother before he died. And in the Bible, I wrote this. To my brother Richie, I love you. See you later, Harry. And after he died, my cousin sent the Bible back to me. That was the Bible I took to Cambodia because I needed a really good study Bible when I was teaching. On the last day, one of the Cambodian pastors, about 25 years old, picks that Bible up. He starts to read it. I said, can you read that? He goes, up here, really good. Here, not so good. Up here, really good. Here, not so good. He goes, is this a good Bible? Oh, it's a very good Bible. Is it very expensive? That one was. That one cost a life. But it's about $30 American. And he said, that's how much money I make every month as a pastor. Listen, God, I'll send him a box of Bibles. I'll send him a truckload of Bibles. He's not getting this one. He's not getting this one. And those of you who have been around me know enough that giving is not one of my flaws. Because we live by people giving from God's hand to us, and we've learned to give from God's hand to others. It's how this whole business ought to work. You with me? And that day, God spoke very clearly to me and said this, as long as you're the hero of this story, I'll be very limited in what I can do in you and through you. But today, Harry, if you make me the hero of the story, did you save your brother or did I? Who's the hero here? To my Cambodian brother, preach the word. And that's what changed everything in our ministry as far as I'm concerned, Carl, because I had to go to Cambodia to see how indifferent I was. And then you know what? I'm going to Cuba again because it's time to remember this year just how indifferent we can be. By the way, I've looked at all the stuff they want me to teach on marriage. I'm not teaching someone else's stuff on marriage. Why? Because it's not the stuff that I teach on marriage, you know? and so I've got to figure a way out how to what? Turn that into what? What I want now.
just FYI, in four trips, I've never taught with a handshake.
Thank you. Thank you. Good point.
And I'm going back to four times. So.
What is the moral of the story? We are God's. He sent his son to buy us back. Buy us back. Okay? Picture a heart. Watch this. Everybody look at me. Picture a big heart. Big heart. Now, up in this quadrant is the word kids. There's a part of your heart that's meant for your what? Kids. Do you know that part of your heart that's meant for your fit? First time Caleb moved inside you, what happened? And now look at you. You travel all over the world to sit in the sun to watch little girls sweat like crazy, kicking a ball around a field. Look at me. I know you got. I could have been All-American soccer player, except for the running part. The running part. I could kick. I could bump, but I was not good at the running part. There's a part of your heart that's meant for Jesus, and he must come in, and he has to be in charge of the whole thing. And right now, there's some of you in this room, you got Jesus sitting over here in a closet. There's a part of your heart meant for your mate. That part of your heart you have to give away. That part you have to give away. So 45 years ago when you were 10, you said, all right, Carl, here it is. This is this heart that God has given me. It was never meant for me to hang on to. I give it to you, I do. I give it to you, I do. So what's the conflict here? That part of your heart that was meant to give away, you started to take it back. And now you're holding on to it. And God never intended you to hold on to it. He intended you to give it away. Or, you've been living together for 45 years, and that part of your heart that was meant to give away, you never gave it. And if you wonder why your mate's on the run from God, because that part of their heart is not controlled by God, and that part of their heart that was meant for you, they never gave it. Never gave it. Okay, we got 5 minutes. How to restore hope for your home and lives. Number one, reinvest love in your partner. Reinvest love in your partner. You got to let God love you so you can love them. The choice of my will, I'm going to love again. We had to make a choice that first year, and I saw Lynette put her focus on she and God, and there was no way I was going to let her on the triangle beat me to the top, and so we started doing this, and up here is where everything happened. The closer you get to God, the closer you get to each other. You got to learn how to make deposits into your mate's account. Into your mate's account. And you know something? It's really hard, especially if your mate's making withdrawals in your account. Okay? You got to make those deposits. Number two, remember what drew you to your partner. What drew you to them? Why'd you marry me?
I don't know.
He's truthful.
That's what I got.
No, you made me laugh. Plus, I really, I just liked you. You made me laugh. I had fun with you. I mean,
I married Lynette for this one reason. I know she's got money. I don't know where it is. I don't know where she's got it hidden. I know. See, watch this. Single guys, listen to me. Marry money. It's easy to fall into love. It's really hard to fall into rich. No. Watch this. No. It's worse than that. Everything I owned, you can put in the back seat of a Toyota Corolla. And I am not kidding you.
But you loved God more than anybody I knew. And you were uncompromisingly.
Yeah, but you were hanging around with a lot of pagans back then. So, you know, I mean, I was a step up no matter how low the step was. There's a story of an old piano. It was broken down. There was no hope. It never played any longer. It had no longer had any beautiful music. They counseled it, but it didn't happen. They encouraged it. Watch this. They read scripture and music to the piano, biblical music to the piano, but it doesn't seem the piano was ever going to change. And then one day their maker came. He adjusted it. He loved it. He played it again, and he brought it back into harmony to being what the piano was called to be. Restoration is getting back into harmony with you and God right now. Restoration is getting back into harmony with you and other people. If you got bitterness in your heart toward other people, you got a big God problem. If you got people you can't forgive or you won't forgive, you got a God problem. And the blessings will stop until you get that right with God. That's what Scripture said today. Number three, reinstate Christ at the head of your home. Okay? Reinstate Christ. The goal is still what? Say it. The goal is still Christ's likeness. You're to walk like Him, talk like Him, act like Him. This isn't about trying hard. It's about what? Training ourselves in Christ's likeness. So Christ has got to be the head of the home. Restoration and forgiveness are the greatest Christ-like characteristics we can show. There's your fill-in. I can't forgive them. No, that's your pride saying I won't forgive them. Number four, reject the lies of the enemy. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. He'll be back. I told you he attacks four ways. Number one, he attacks the mind. That equals what? Deception. He's got to deceive your mind. He attacks the body. That equals destruction. He's trying to destroy your family. He attacks the will. That equals disobedience. He's got to get you focused on yourself and what you're not getting so that you come to that place of disobedience. And then the last one is he attacks your heart. That equals despair. And his greatest tool is what? He will also use slothfulness. Write the word in. And I've taught it before. Let me say it again. Slothfulness is the root cause, I believe, of every sin we commit as a believer. As a believer. You say, how so? Slothfulness is this. What's important has got to be worth the effort. It's one of the seven deadly sins. The other deadly sins are all controlled by slothfulness. Pride, humility, not worth the effort. Greed, coveting, contentment, not worth the effort. Pride, humility today, not worth the effort. What's important has got to be worth the effort. And the slothfulness says this. The guy says, I can't go outside. There could be a lion in the street. Yeah, could be. Not likely. So we always make excuses for why we don't do what we should do. Why? Right now, losing weight isn't worth the what? Effort. But it will be by noon today. It will be by noon today. Now, what do you do here? Well, number one, recognize the devil's attacks. Remember, if what you're thinking is drawing you away from God, it's what? It's not God. If what you're doing is drawing you into sin, it's not God. And the counterfeit wants to kill the dream God has for you. The counterfeit. Refuse to accept the lie. Reckon yourself dead to sin. Sometimes you just have to say what to sin? No. Nay, nay. Number four, learn to rest in the God of restoration. You got to learn to what? Rest. Got to move fast. Number five, rekindle the romance. Rekindle the romance. And that doesn't mean you step it up sexually. It means spending quality time. It's learning how to be teachable when your wife comes to you and says, hey, your tones are real sharp with me lately. Well, everything inside me wants to say what? No, they're not. You're just picking at everything I do. No matter what I do, you pick at. It's never enough. Or try this one. Your tones are really sharp. Hey, let me work on that. You're right. I need to work at that. Because watch this. We can talk ugly to our mates and get away with it. I can't talk to her that way. Or when we got in the plane, you'd say what? Jump. You're going off the plane. Jump. Okay? Number six, return to the Word. You've heard enough of this for the last 10 years. If you're not spending time in the Word every day, you're toast. Number seven, be ready to forgive and forsake. Not forget, forsake. If what you're thinking is drawing you away from God, forsake that junk. If what you have can draw you away, whatever it is that's drawing you away from God, you got to forsake that stuff. If someone says to me, what? Hey, let's get a beer after golf. Here's what I say. No. I don't drink. Why? Because every time I drank, it never drew me closer to God. So I have forsaken that stuff. I don't go to the casinos. Why? I used to gamble. I have forsaken that stuff. I don't do a third dessert anymore.
Whatever.
Unless it's low-cal. Now, number eight, be ready to repent. Be ready to change what God wants to change. Number nine, reinstate trust and loyalty. Loyalty. And you know something? We must continually work on our loyalty to God, and we got to work on our loyalty to our family and our mates. I got to stay loyal to you as a family. They're running late today. Good. Oneness with God and my mate happens when both of us decide to commit to oneness with God and our mate. You got to have oneness with God. You have to have oneness with your mate. Number 10, learn to rejoice again for all God is, for all God's will and his, or all God's, that's wrong. Learn to rejoice again when you see God's really working in your life. The words rejoice. Words rejoice. Number 11, seek again this principle that we have value as believers. When you start believing the truth about yourself, that God delights in you, that you have value, you're valuable, what you do is valuable, everything, what you do with those kids every day is valuable. Staying home and taking care of your house is valuable. Find your value in what you're doing. The problem is we begin to devalue what God says is supposed to have great what? Value. Now, you're going to have to get these fast. Devaluing leads to distractions. And it's too easy in our world to get distracted today. It's too easy in our home to get distracted today, which leads to distance. You distance yourself from God and you distance yourself from loved ones, which distance leads to disengaging. And now you're two people living under the same roof, totally disengaged. Totally disengaged. Which leads to dead works. Dead works are anything you do that has no value. Now look at me real quick, because we're going to run late today and I don't care. Watch me. Dead works. You go to that church service today and you're playing in your mind everything that's going on in your world that shouldn't be going on in your world, or you start thinking about all the people who don't spend enough time making you happy, and you no more worship God than a man on the moon today. You've no more worshiped God than a man on the moon, and church can become a dead work. Watch this. Sorry, boys. Intimacy can become a dead work. Hey, honey, I got stuff to do. I got clothes to fold. No, not tonight. Intimacy can become a what? A dead work, or worse than that, a chore. And it was never meant to be a chore. And then it leads to death. Okay? Now, final thoughts. We got to fulfill our roles. Women, you're called to praise. Make your husband the solution, not the problem. Men, you're called to listen. Christ has to be the center of your heart. Here's your last fill-in. My faith in God will always allow me to see God's hand in every circumstance, even if he takes me ways I don't want to go. If you've missed a fill-in, catch me later. I'll be in back. Last thought. Look at me, please. Look at me. Forgive me for being short earlier today. This is the world I have to live in every stinking day of my life, and I wouldn't change it for anybody. This is serious stuff. And we got to pay attention. Because it's too easy to take each other for granted. It's too easy to become indifferent about our relationships with God and each other. This was a Sunday we had to really pay attention. There's an enemy trying to destroy your family. So what's the final answer? You already know it. Get in the box and stay there. Christ-likeness, God joy, mate and kids joy. Do those three things every day, you fulfilled your purpose. Go to bed, you had a good day today. Because if you're bringing God joy, your serving will be right, your giving will be right, your attitude will be right. If all hell breaks loose, you'll act right. Do whatever it takes to bring your mate joy. Which means I have to learn to what? Listen. Pray for us. We're packing up our home right now. And Lynette, the perfectionist, will not allow anyone to pack a thing.
Did you sell it?
Yeah. House is sold, by the way. House is sold. Okay? So, I'll let you know when we're going to have the packing the pod day. Because you'll have to come over secretively, otherwise she's never going to let you come over. She's already told me I'm not to announce this, but she's not here. Okay? Christ-likeness, God joy, mate and kids joy. Do those three things every day. You fulfilled your purpose. Go to bed. You had a really good day today. Amen. Next week, how do we get God's best in our life? Father God, thanks for loving us. Forgive me for being so super sensitive today. And Lord, just bless our week. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.